Praise the Lord. I have an announcement to make this morning. Y'all ready? God is still on the throne.
Amen.
Amen? Hallelujah. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it sounds like. God is still on the throne. And He's still actively participating and wanting to participate in each of our lives. Amen? Hallelujah. We're a bunch of dummies. As human beings, we make mistakes. We get weird ideas. And there's none of us immune from that. But the only thing we have to rely on that keeps us steady and on the mark is the Word of God and fellowship with Him and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. And because He loves us, He's right there to point us in the right direction. As soon as we release it, He forgets it. He has no memory of it. And you're free. Amen? What Jesus died for is no more. Hello? Come on. Don't miss a good place to say amen. What Jesus paid for, I love that man. Can't get enough of him. What Jesus paid the price for is finished. We, as His children, now walk in victory, dominion, and everything that comes with salvation. There's no ifs or ands or buts or maybes. Well, but no. It's finished. He cried out on the cross and said it's finished, gave up His ghost or His spirit, and He ascended to the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For those of you who weren't here Wednesday night, you missed a good message. Harry's talking about the resurrection. What exactly happened? What took place? I hope it is. So I encourage you, if you want to hear something good or something, some of it may not be anything new to you, but I guarantee you, if you listen, there's things in there the Holy Spirit will reveal to you. Okay? He did me. So praise God. Amen. He's not finished yet. Praise the Lord. I came here this morning because I want to praise and worship God. I want to be corporately in fellowship, not only with Him, but with you all. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's the way it was designed. That's the way God designed it. This is where there's safety. This is where there's sanctuary. This is where all the foolishness gets exposed without condemnation, without pointing a finger, without guilt, amen, and gets released. This is where the support is. Amen? We need one another. Don't let that just slip by. We need one another. God has put things in every one of us that are absolutely amazing and that are needed by the body of Christ. I'm not talking about just this little fellowship. I'm talking about needed by the body of Christ. Little things come in, little thoughts, little things that irritate us. It's because we wear our emotions and feelings on our sleeves. Come on now, you can be honest. This is a safe place, amen? But we don't have to dwell in those. We don't have to walk in those, amen? Praise the Lord. I'm excited because Jesus is here. I'm excited because the Holy Spirit's here, and we're going to invite Him to come and take control right now. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for this day. This is a day You have made. I rejoice, and I'm glad in it. And Father, I thank You that Your presence is here to heal, deliver, enlighten, illuminate, and set free those who need to be set free, and to strengthen those who need strength. I thank You that Your healing abounds here, Lord, that it's been paid for according to Your Word. Not only were we, but we are healed in the name of Jesus. And that means from sickness, disease, poverty, lack, want, from anything, Lord, that's not from You, that You didn't design, that's not in Your presence to give or to distribute. We acknowledge the One who is the One who distributes those things, and we say we want nothing to do with Him except to take authority over Him and dominion over Him and to put Him under our feet. So we do that this morning in Jesus' name. And I thank You, Lord, that now we've come to minister to You, to worship and praise You, to give You honor and glory and thanksgiving this morning. We want what we say and do this morning, Lord, to bring honor and glory to You. In Jesus' name we praise You and thank You. Have Your way and Your will. I surrender to you. I submit to you. And now, Lord, we do it all for you and for your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Father, once again, we thank you for this day. We're glad, Lord, to be in your presence. We rejoice. We thank you, Lord, that you are the foundation that we stand on. Your word, your truth, you are truth, Lord. We stand on that, Lord. We live and move and have our being in you, Lord. It's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit that these things happen and come to pass, Lord. We thank you for this day. And now, Lord, once again, I surrender to you. Use these stammering lips, this feeble voice, Lord, to lift you up, to bring glory and honor to you and to your kingdom and to magnify and build up your kingdom, Lord. Let the words that I speak be your words and your words alone, Lord. Not my opinion, but truth. Again, Lord, touch me with a coal from off the altar of God. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name for the outcome. Lives changed, healed, delivered, set free. Joy returned for mourning. Health for sickness and dis-ease. Prosperity for lack and want, Lord, for poverty. I thank you in the name of Jesus and give you all praise and all honor and glory. Amen. Hallelujah. While I'm getting started here, if you will, turn to Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. Thank you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. How many here know and understand and have experienced that what you expect is what you get?
It's true.
Amen?
It's true.
Anybody here who doesn't know that or who hasn't gone through something where you expected it and it came to pass? You know, one of the big jokes is every time it comes flu season, Martha says to George, she says, "Well, George, it's flu season again. And I'll be the first to get it." And then she gets it and can't understand why. "But God, well, what you expect is what you get." Amen? Boy, I'm telling you, you talk about mixed up hearts, mixed up minds. Jesus, in his walk, never questioned. He only obeyed. Jesus never questioned in his walk and in his life. He only obeyed. If you diligently listen and obey, you will eat the good of the land. That's not just talking about physical food. That's talking about everything God has for you and I. But what's it all based on? It's based on faith. And how does faith operate? By love. Is that right? Y'all aren't sure. Is that right? Does faith work by love? Okay. Then would you agree with me that it was the love of God from the foundations of this earth, noted in Genesis chapter 1, that God's plan began at that time, even before you and I were formed and fashioned in our mother's womb, before we even came to be a thought on this earth? Now, has anything changed? Are you sure? Well, let's see what the Word has to say. See, I want us to understand today more deeply what faith is all about. Also, what we have received. That's why I'm so excited about Harry's message that he started Wednesday night. And that salvation. Man, he said some things that lit me on fire. How many of you, when something comes across your path, you know, we're told things like, well, don't put a name on it. But when you identify something that's not from God, the key is not to dwell on it, but to name it
stamp it, return to sender, and send it back. I don't want to get ahead of my message here. Let's start. And we'll just start with Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance. It's the tangible conviction and evidence that we have in us of the things we hope for. It's the evidence of things we don't see. When you're in a struggle, when you're in a situation where the enemy's tried to send a package to you, well, no matter what it is, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, monetary, we need to understand that that is a name that has been defeated by the completed, listen carefully, completed work of God and through Jesus Christ on the cross. And he said, what? It is finished. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. How did the elders obtain a good testimony? Their faith. Their faith. Nothing wavering. Faith based on what? The promises, irrefutability, irrevocability, and never-ending, perpetual Word of God that will continue on long after we've gone to be with Him and this world becomes the New Jerusalem. Amen? Or however that works out. I'm not a scholar on those things. Harry and some of you probably know more about that than I do. But I know we're going to see the New Jerusalem. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Harry made a statement I never considered on Wednesday night. The Bible says a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day to God. See, He's got His timetable, and we've got our timetable, right? So when God put this plan into fruition, began this plan, He calls it days. I don't know. I wasn't there. It could have been 7 days like the Bible says. Could have been 7,000 years. I don't know. I don't know. I believe it was instant, and I'm going to continue to believe that. I believe as He spoke it each day, it came to pass, and that was it. Nothing stopped or thwarted God's Word. He spoke things into existence. His Word spoke words and spoke things into existence. You and I are here because of the Word of God. We were spoken into existence by His will. If you're not sure about that, read John 1:13. And God at no time ever had a plan, nor did His Son come at any point to condemn us. Are you listening to me? The condemnation comes because we don't operate in faith or we don't believe, which runs right along hand in hand and side by side with faith. Now, I don't know which one of you have ever tried to do something just by speaking words and seeing something appear right before you, but so far I haven't been able to make it work. However, in the Spirit, when I speak, when you speak, and we speak by faith, things happen. Amen? Some of you may not be convinced of that. Some of you may be, well, no, it's done. You may not see the manifestation because of where you're walking in your faith, but it's done. Can we just get real? Any hesitation to believe God's Word is doubt. It's unbelief. Right? This morning, I'm not here to bring heaviness. I'm here to bring life. To let you know and to let you see exactly what you have, how powerful it is, and what it means. By faith, Abel offered to God, verse 4, a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. God testified of his gifts. He just did what he was supposed to do. And God testified, probably gave witness of what he had done. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, what does the Bible say? Without what is it impossible to please God? Faith. Faith. What does that mean? That means that you have a report in the Word of God. You have already witnessed and succumbed to and submitted to the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ by the will of God. For what purpose? What motivated you to do that? Because in you there was a place that you knew. You knew, you sensed it, that things weren't right in your life. You needed a change. You needed salvation. And Jesus was the vehicle to that salvation. Amen? Isn't He the reason for the season? Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter. Not Easter bunnies and candy canes. Amen? But the sacrifice that He gave, that He made on the cross. Amen? Now, we don't doubt that, do we? Is there anybody here that doubts that? Questions that? Praise the Lord. Then we're well on the road, aren't we? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. Listen carefully. Underline that word, rewarder, of those who diligently seek Him. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean you spend every waking moment on your face just talking to Him and reading the Word or anything? No. People talk about fasting. I'm not against fasting. I'm for it. But a wise man once gave a message, talked about living a fecund, more than one wise man. I've heard it from several different avenues, several different individuals. Living a fasted life. What does that mean, fasted life? That means whatever God requires of you today, you do. If it means giving up television, give up television. If it means giving up sweets for the day, then give up sweets. Whatever it is, whatever God has ministered to you, that's called living a fasted life. It's called being instant in season and being obedient. Amen? And what is obedience? Better than any sacrifice you and I can make. Correct? Praise the Lord. So that's what it talks about by being diligent to seek Him. It's listening, always having your ear tuned. Also, diligently seeking Him is having a desire with every breath and every waking moment to please Him, to walk in His will and His Word. See, unfortunately, a lot of us sometimes, we become Melvin Mediocre or Betty Bland. We talk great things, and we walk out the door and attack comes and gone. We struggle. Oh, don't shout me down. Say amen. Oral me. We dare not become Melvin Mediocre or Betty Bland if we want to see what God has promised to us and assured us of through His promises, through His Word. Now, there's a lot of things in the Word that we can consider promises, but they're more than promises. They are absolute, without question, facts of truth. Promises, if you will, I will. Promises of good things, but there is an attachment to it. Walk in faith. Now, God sometimes blesses us, and we don't have a clue why. Well, yeah, we do. It's simple. It's because He loves us. He loves us. You know, you and I can't even imagine what that kind of love looks like. We experience it, but we can't even imagine what that kind of love looks like. Even though we read it in the Word, 1 Corinthians 13, we read it. That love is foreign to us. And the reason is because that we are still flesh being changed from the mortal to immortal. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you something. Along with that, what you expect is what you get. If you expect nothing or failure, guess what you're going to get? Why is that? Because the Word tells us that as long as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, there will always be seed time and harvest. And that seed time and harvest doesn't just have to do with the physical things that you sow into the kingdom, like money, time, and things like that, but it's the words you speak. Ooh. You and I speak sometimes things we should never speak. Those things should never cross our lips. And we should cast them down when they come into our mind, the thoughts. But you know what? Along with John 3:17 through 19, Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh." The flesh's dictates, the flesh's impulses, the flesh's thinking, the carnality of your mind, the deceitful heart. But according to the Spirit of what? Life, revelation, teaching. Amen? That's what He's here for. He's the comforter. He's not the condemner, He's the comforter. He reminds us in the time of need what God's Word has said and what we can expect if we'll just stand up and say, there's no other way. God said it. I can't happen any other way. Are we convinced of that today? Some of us have walked in great victory in many things. Probably most of us, if not all of us. But we still have those little places where something pops up and we all of a sudden get shook up and, you know, okay, it's something we didn't expect. We're caught by surprise. Once again, I'm going to say it, but He is never caught by surprise. Let me tell you something. When Jesus was in His final days and hours, when He was abused by the world and by the religious leaders of the day, everything He did, man, Harry brought this out so beautifully on Wednesday, everything He did, there was a motivation and a reason for. And the motivation and the reason was for your freedom, your healing, your liberty, your well-being. Amen? Everything He did. It wasn't just so He could, you know, the fact that His entire, you know, form was not recognizable. It wasn't just to put in a book so we can have a nice story. Oh, that poor dear. There was a reason so that you and I can walk in victory and authority and power. Based on what? Our goodness? No, His goodness, His obedience, His righteousness. And then He, through the Father, turned around and said, He had His arms out, said, "It's finished," giving it to you and I. And then He went right into the pit of hell where it all started, the deviousness, the deception, the dissension, and took all of that captive. Took it captive. Took death, hell, and what? The grave. Captive. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I read somewhere in the Bible that God said, "With long life will I satisfy Abraham and show him my salvation." And you know what? I'm hanging on to that scripture. I'm not leaving here one day before God says, "My work is done." That's faith, folks. Based on what? Well, how can I make a statement like that? The worlds were framed by the Word of God. And what we see was not made of things which do appear. Faith calls those things which are not visible or are not as though they are. In other words, they already exist. You know why? Because they do exist. All we're waiting for is the manifestation. And that manifestation comes if you stand and don't waver. And if you get in trouble or start to slip, cry out. There's no shame in saying, "Father, help me. Help my belief." Amen? You really believe He'll never leave us nor forsake us? Do you really believe there's nothing that He'll withhold from us if it's according to His Word and His promise? Then if we really believe that, let's start acting like it. Amen? See, when we understand what salvation was talked about, when Nicodemus talked to Jesus about salvation, He said, "You know, what I need to do?" And Jesus said, "You need to be born again." And of course, Nicodemus, in his flesh thinking, turn with me, if you will, to John 3:6. In his flesh was thinking, "Well, how can I go back and be born of my mother again?" Jesus said, "No, Nicodemus. Once you have to be born by the flesh, but once you have to be born by the Spirit." born into the Spirit. Allow the Spirit of life and light through Christ Jesus to come in. Get your thinking, your mind, your heart, your motivations, your reservations all changed by the Word of God, by allowing me to come in, because I will create in you, just like David cried out, clean hands, a pure heart, and renew a right spirit within you. Amen? So you have to understand that flesh and spirit, they will never come together. But if you get into the Word and you agree with the Word, the spirit man can dominate the flesh man or the carnal man or that mind, that heart as we call it, which is the seat of emotions, the appetites of the flesh, all those things, can motivate it and control it by the Word, bringing it into subjection, which takes what? Faith and discipline. And what are we called? I like what somebody said the other day. I heard this, man. I'm telling you, my heart leapt within inside me. We're not Christians. We're disciples. Did you ever consider that? We're disciples. That's what we are. From the time we're born and give our lives to God at whatever time that is, until the day we go to be with Him, we are disciples. Disciplined ones. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes in my life, this one goes out the window. Hello? I see some of you can find that amusing and agree with that. But you know what? He's never, ever changed His mind about you and me. He understands. And even in that, He says, nothing will ever overtake you that I haven't made a way of escape. The biggest and fastest way to escape all those things is to run where? To the Word of God. Not to your intellect. Not to let your thinking run crazy. Not to let your thinking motivate you. Or to listen to somebody who has some shingle on their wall. Folks, I'm not against those things. They have their place. But I am against anything that does not create, propagate faith and the power of God in your life. For crying out loud, He created you and I. He didn't just create us and stick us out there and say, well, I hope I see you. Everything He did was so that you and I could walk in faith, see the things we believe for, see the things we need, which we walk in faith to receive. So that when things happen, we're, by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, allowing the Spirit of God and God's power to control the situation. How we come in control rather than uncontrol is by agreeing with those things. Amen? Stay with me, folks. In Isaiah 53:5, as Harry mentioned Wednesday night, we need to understand totally what that verse says. It says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Iniquities, plural. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes, we are healed. That's not just talking about physical healing. That means whatever malady or attack that comes against you, whether it's physical, financial, mental, we were healed. And what blew me away is when I finally put the two together, bless my darling heart, mixed up mine, and saw that those things have names. Because they have names, we have the ability, just like when the mailman comes to the door, to either sign for and receive it, or say, not here, return to sender. I don't want any part of it. I'm not signing for that. I'll have no part of that. Your Bible says, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's talking about anything and anybody who does not speak faith in the Word of God, who doesn't build your faith but tears it down. Tries to put something on you or give you a package, whether it's called tuberculosis, cancer, pain of any kind, poverty, lack, even when people who you think are supposed to love you may be a little bit on the ornery side in your estimation. But you know what the best medicine for that is? You all know. This is for free. Consider your ways. See what God saved you from and delivered you from. Don't act like them. Act like Jesus. Amen? That's for free. That's for free. The word "he was wounded" means he was profaned. He was defiled. He was polluted. He was desecrated. He was violated. His honor was turned to dishonor. And he was treated as common. Did you hear that? That doesn't sound like anything I want around in or operating in my life. I certainly don't want to speak it, and I certainly don't want to live it. Amen? But do you understand that because of that, that was all of the things that were on you and I? That was the things that happened because of the sin in the garden that you and I were born into. Can I just simply tell you, it was hereditary? Because of the sin of Adam and Eve. It was hereditary. But God already had the plan in place. Back in Genesis 1, He knew. You don't take Him by surprise. If you think I'm kidding, you just try. Our transgressions means it was done for His, for our rebellion. We were the ones recognized as sinners. We were the ones who were guilty. We were the ones who needed punishment for our transgressions and an offering for our sin. And He became that. And we got all of the indictments and trash that was against us blotted out and made just as if we had never sinned. And in His eyes, through Jesus Christ and the finished work, we have never sinned. If you don't think so, go back and read the account of Paul in your Bible. One who was noted, feared because of his treachery and murdering Christians or disciples of God, disciples of Christ. And yet when he was asked, he said, "I have done nothing to these people." Why did he say that? Because he had a revelation that when the Bible says you're born again, the old things, everything, the indictments, the misgivings, the discomfort of knowing the things that you've done was done away with. Done away with. Forever. Buried in the deepest sea. Remembered no more by God. But the deceiver, "I know what you did." And right away, because we don't operate in faith and take the authority, we don't put that down. We let guilt come on us again. A package was just delivered. What are you going to do with it? You're going to let guilt stand, or are you going to walk in faith and say, "Not in this house"? Amen? Praise the Lord. Bruised. He was crushed and was sent to be crushed and broken because of our iniquities and transgressions. So we don't have to be anymore. That was the whole point. So we don't have to be anymore. Whew, you missed a good place to shout. Iniquities. He was crushed and bruised and broken for our perversity, our depravity, and our guilt and lack of integrity. Whew. Whew. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the chastisement or the discipline or correction of our peace, He took on Himself. Our peace, what God desired, the completeness, the soundness, the welfare, the safety, the health, the prosperity, the tranquility, the contentment, and friendship was all laid on Him. And He took it so we don't have to walk there anymore. Amen? It's a choice, folks. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Are you going to serve your foolish thoughts? Are you going to serve the thoughts and the advice of people who bless their hearts, think they're trying to do you well, but if they're not pointing you in the direction of faith in the Word of God, they are stealing from you and they're trying to destroy what faith is in you. And what's the devil's job? That's right. Amen. See, you guys know. See, the devil has disciples just like God does. And there are some people out there who don't even know. Now, I'm not dissing whatever job you may be in, but I'm saying if it's not used for God, then it's got to be something that's used for Satan, right? Is there any other avenue we can go? Any other conclusion? There's either hell or heaven. That's the way I see it in the Word. Amen? By His stripes are the bruises and the wounds and the blows. We are healed. That means the hurts, the individual distresses, the personal distresses, and even the national defects. Did you hear that? The national defects. God repented from the destruction of an entire people and city due to one man. He said, God, if there's even one. And He said, if there's even one, I won't destroy the city. Amen? I don't know about y'all, but that sounds like power. That sounds like authority. That sounds like truth in operation. God cares about you so much that you have the ability to deliver an entire nation or city because of your faith. But thank God we're not one. We're many. And those that are with us are more than those that are out there. They may be in a majority physically, but spiritually they are nothing. They can't compare to the hosts and myriads of angels in heaven and those who are in agreement. Those who have gone before. Those who are standing now in faith. Preaching the Word of God. Operating in faith. Laying hands on sick and seeing them recover. Standing in faith. Going to the elders and saying, pray for me. I need this or I need that. Letting them lay hands on you, put oil on you, and anoint you so that you are delivered, because that's a promise of God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We're healed. All of our hurts, our individual personal distresses, and our national defects. Glory to God. Do you realize that we're the plug in the dike that's holding back the waters of destruction? Do you understand that? You and I are the ones who are holding it back. And all because God loved the whole world and gave His Son. Amen? And He doesn't want anybody to perish. Bob ministered here a couple Wednesdays ago about the fact that we may be the only and the last person to ever tell somebody about Jesus before they go on. We may be the only Jesus they ever see. But the point is, that's another victory for the Lord. Amen? Snatch somebody right. Can you get a picture of this? Close your eyes and picture this. You're ministering the Word to somebody, and they may be on their deathbed, or they may be on their way out of this world, and all of a sudden you speak the Word, and what happens? They're snatched out of the devil's hands. They're delivered from hell, from destruction, eternal destruction. Woo! Look out now. Look out now. I'm telling you, it's like electricity running through me this morning. Praise God. See, Jeremiah 29:11 started long before Jesus. Amen? It started clear back in Genesis 1:3. Probably even Genesis 1:1. Well, you and I are just kind of getting a hold of that now here in the recent years. But the truth is, His thoughts for us, toward us, were for good and not for evil. Were to prosper us and not to harm us. And to give us a hope and a future before we were born. Is there anybody here who believes He's changed His mind? Is there anybody here who believes it's not for them? We got a victorious group here. Hallelujah. And it goes right from Genesis 1 all the way through Revelation. His thoughts. I am the Lord and I do not change. What is salvation? It's being safe. Safe from one thing but not another? Is God's arm shortened that He cannot save? Is His arm shortened so He can't deliver? Then why do we even consider those things? Why don't we take captive of those thoughts and say, it is not possible? Let me tell you. I want to go back. Verse 5, Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we were healed. Did you see that little word there? That's a word that denotes past tense. Amen? We were healed. I remember a song that came out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. David Ingalls. I am healed. I am whole. Isaiah 53:5 says it. 1 Peter 2:24 says it. And that's a done deal. It hasn't changed. It's still in effect right now. It's still right now for today. Amen? I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how many bad reports you get. If bad reports bring you to a place of doubt and unbelief, then get away from the bad reports. What a concept. Are you listening? Stan has stood here in this pulpit since the first time I ever met him and said, if I'm not building your faith, I have failed you. Now, you need to carry that out, and that, you know, 1 and 1 equals 2, that means I must be a failure. I'll let the Holy Spirit deal with you on that. Consider that. Salvation is being safe in the midst of attack, of storms, of troubles, of pressures, of distresses, and tribulations. Safe! You want some examples? Go back and look at Peter in the boat. Go back and look at the storm when Jesus said, I'm going to go over to the other side. And they get in the boat and the storms come. And you see the conflict between the flesh and the spirit in Peter. Peter, knowing who Jesus is, having walked with Him, being His best friend, but then taking his eyes off of the one who spoke what He spoke, we're going over to the other side, and let the storms, for just a moment, have control. How many remember the old saying? Most of us here, if not all of us, in fact, I'm going to say all of us, are old enough to remember the old saying, nip it in the bud. Cast down those vain imaginations. Don't you care that we're perishing? Like it was even possible because Jesus had made a declaration. He spoke the world into existence, didn't He? He was there when God said it, when God made the plan. Amen? He is the revealed Word of God. So how is it possible that this can happen and you fail? It's not unless you give up. Hello? Are you still with me so far?
Amen.
John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you, to the Clausens, to the Mosiers, to the Franzes, to the Coits, to the Romeros. Forgive me, some of you, I don't know your last names, so I'm not excluding you, I just don't know your last name. That what? Your joy may be full. Jane Lee, that includes you? Well, not yet. We're not quite there yet. We're getting close, but we're not there yet. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me, nowhere else, in Him, you may have what? Peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It was done on the cross, through the work on the cross, and Him going into hell and taking captive death, hell, and the grave, taking the keys and stripping the devil of His power and authority. On the other hand, though, you and I, one of the things we gain by that is being able to give Him back His authority in our lives, if we allow it. Did you hear me? Praise the Lord. Even as I'm preaching, the enemy's been silenced. How do I know that? Because I'm not coughing and sputtering and choking up and everything, which would be just what the enemy would like, right? So we're seeing a miracle right here, right now, right? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter 2:22 through 25. Talking about Jesus, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth. who when he was reviled did not revile in return. He suffered. He did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. He's the only one that can judge. Sometimes somebody will say something or an action will happen and we think it's directed towards us. Or we may take it as it was directed towards us. I want you to hear what this says in verse 22. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return, when he suffered he did not threaten, but committed himself to what? To him who judges righteously. How many know you can walk into a room and somebody will say something, and because you're already self-conscious, all of a sudden the attack you feel is against you? You know what? One of the biggest things that hit me right between the eyes, I thank God for setting me free, is understanding that the whole world's not talking about me. And because I walk into a room in the middle of a conversation, doesn't mean they were talking about me or to me. But if I'm insecure, what's the first thing I'm going to do? Why that? Amen? Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good now. We give too much credence to things that are irrelevant. And if our mind was stayed on the things that are important, which is what God's opinion of us is, even if they were talking to us, who cares? You know, when I was a little boy, I think my mama told me one time, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. The Bible says there's a false accuser out there, but which side am I on? Do I want to get in the same situation or the same playpen as them, or do I want to stay right in the fold, right in the place of safety, which says I reject those things? I know what God said. I don't care what they think. I'm already considered peculiar anyway, amen? So are you, aren't you? If you're not, we'll pray for you at the end of service, so we'll get you real peculiar. Amen? Who himself, listen carefully, bore our sins in his own body. We've already covered that on the tree. That we, having died to what? To sins. Disobedience, distrust, lack of faith, doubt. Amen? That's the kind of sins we're talking about. We're not talking about a sin that leads to death. We're talking about a sin that'll steal the word from you. And again, I started this, I don't know if I finished. What's the devil's job? What does he really want to do? He wants to steal the word from you. He's not against you. He's against the word of God. See, once again, we've given too much place and too much credence to him. What he's out to do is destroy the word, to destroy God, which he will never do. He's already been defeated and too stupid to know it. Oh, you missed a good place to say amen. We, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Now listen carefully. In verse 24, this is important. We already saw in Isaiah 53:5, we were healed. Watch carefully now. Watch carefully. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. It says we are healed in Isaiah 53. We are, which is right now, presently, we are. By whose stripes you were healed. Past tense. Now we got it right. Sorry. I got him turned around there. So, the Old Testament says you are, and the New Testament says you were. Hello? God has just confirmed his word. The Old Covenant in the New Covenant. You were healed. Healed, delivered, set free. Amen? For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Now let me ask a question. Based on that scripture, what did Jesus say about the shepherd? That's one thing. That's right. And what else did he do? He left the 99 and went after the one in distress. Amen. Are you beginning to see just how important you are to Him? Are you beginning to see that this is for you and me? Are you beginning to get an understanding that this is not just pretty words, but this is fact? See, there is only one truth, one life, and one way. You can take all the things that you've been taught in school, and while they may have an element of factuality, they are not truth unless they're based on God's truth. They're only opinions and ideas. Whose opinion are you concerned about today? Whose opinion are you looking towards today? Why do we run to the negative when there's so much positive and so much good right here? Why do we run to and thrive on the negative? Why do we get worried? Why do we doubt? Why do we fear? Because we haven't put a name to whatever it is that's trying to come on us. Stamped it, return to sender, address unknown, and send it back to the one who sent it. And understanding that whatever it is, was handled in the bruises, stripes, and blood of Jesus. Amen? No matter what the package the enemy sends or who's bringing it, I don't care who the messenger is. Listen to me. I don't care if it's your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, your neighbor, your best friend. If it doesn't sound like Jesus, then you stamp it, return to sender, address unknown, and you send it back. Don't receive it. Because then you've got another struggle that God's got to handle. He'll handle it. But wouldn't it be better to walk in victory rather than succumb, get back under that yoke of bondage? Amen? I guess for some like me, this is a kick in the pants as well as a real good message. Or bring, if He sends it or brings it, refuse it, no matter where it comes from or what it looks like. Once again, whether it's the worst sickness or dis-ease, not disease, dis-ease. Aren't you in dis-ease when all of a sudden you're thinking that something's gone wrong or something's happened in your life, or all of a sudden you think somebody's got something against you, or you've done something that might give them a reason to have something against you? Where do you feel better? Stewing and getting locked in that, being bound and in getting into bondage with that, or knowing that I'm free, I'm forgiven. You know the way to put the enemy to flight real quick when false accusations, things come? You'll know you walk in power and authority when you can walk right up to that individual and say, you know what, I really apologize. I did not know that what I had done had offended, or whatever, this is just an example, had offended you or whatever, and watch fire be pulled right out of them. They may be 110% wrong, and you may be a total 110% righteous, but you take the fire out of it. And the Bible says, love your enemies. But the first thing you have to understand is, are they really your enemy? Or did you just hear wrong or perceive wrong? Amen? No matter what it is, Gene, no matter what it is, you have victory. You have been delivered. You have been set free. And what does the Bible say about those who have been set free? Tomorrow. Next week? 6 months. No. Patrick's right. It's now. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time of salvation. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh. We serve a mighty and a faithful God. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty and a faithful God. And His thoughts for us, His plans, and everything He did, Jesus following the Father's instructions, was for yours and my good. And not to steal our hopes and good things from us and our future, but to give it to us. So if it looks like something on the other end of the spectrum is happening, where did it come from? Call the truth the truth. Don't lie against the truth. Speak to it. Satan, get behind me. You're not speaking to the individual. You're speaking to the motivation behind the individual or the situation. Because there's only two places things come from. We know that God says, I've come. Jesus came to give life, and that what? More abundantly. And the devil came for what? To steal and kill and destroy. So anything that doesn't look like life abundantly, reject it. Put it down. Kill it. Remember that armor, that shield, is not just a passive, deflective weapon. The picture, if you study it, shows that it not only reflects, but it grabs a hold of those fiery darts, quenches them, and violently throws them to the ground. It's an aggressive weapon also. I remember one time we were working a soccer game, another officer and myself. And at one point, the one guy on the field who was a player became so uptight and violent that he was expelled not only from the game, but from the whole field and property, and then blacklisted. So in the process, at the time, because he was a little out of control, I pulled my baton. And right away, I could hear, clear back in the stands, I'm about halfway out the field, and he's some back in the stands. And it just happened to be a British man who walked up to me afterwards. My partner was standing with me. Of course, we never laid a hand on a man. But you see, because they don't understand. They don't understand. All they can see is an aggressive weapon. You're going to hurt that man. But see, they don't have the training that I've had. They don't understand. That's a passive weapon too. Where I can very expertly and with great effect bring you into control without hurting you, bring you down where I can control you, handcuff you, and send you on your way. And I've never hurt you in any way, shape, fashion, or form. But all they see in their mind because of their perception is you're going to hurt that man. You're going to hit that man. Well, it's a tool that does that. That's what it's for if it's necessary. But if it's not necessary, that's not what you use it for. Perception, people. Perception. The Brit came up to me afterwards and he said, is everything okay? And I said to him, well, sir, why wouldn't it be okay? He said, a bit extreme, don't you think? And I said, well, my partner right behind me, standing right there. I love what he said. He said, well, that's your opinion. He says, that's right, and I'm going to give it to you. What he didn't know is neither one of us cared what his opinion was. We know what happened. That man hurt himself by being violent, being stupid. And then, of course, you know what? The last thing you wanted to do with me at that time is start trying to over-talk me about the Word of God. Well, no man's an island. And I thought to myself, I never opened my mouth, but I thought to myself in an instant, son, you don't want to go there with me. You don't know who I am. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's not arrogance. That's peace. That's knowledge, knowing who I am and whose I am. Amen? Stop apologizing for who and what you are, for exercising the authority God gave you. Amen? If what you do is righteous, even if you're wrong, God will what? Turn it for good. Not only for you, but for the other. Amen? Glory to God. Did anybody get anything out of this morning? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you need prayer this morning for anything, I don't care what it is. If this message has touched you, you want prayer, please, we're here to pray for you. The elders and myself would love to pray for you. If there's anything else that you need prayer for, then come forward. Don't walk out of here knowing you have a need. That's just dumb gone to seed. Because here's the answer. Here's the answer. Amen? Amen. anybody else. You've seen a living testimony this morning. I'm still talking. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I still think it's funny, old knucklehead that he is, tried to put this on me when God was starting to give me, in fact, when he gave me this message about faith. Amen. He's a liar. He's a liar. I don't care what the symptoms are. I am healed. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Anything else we need to pray about today? Then I send you out this morning. Pray in a second. But I send you out this morning with the knowledge that you're loved, you're provided for, you're healed, and that God is the only one whose opinion counts. And He says you're the apple of His eye. He says that you're engraved, your name is engraved in the palm of His hand, and that His name is engraved right here. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for this day. I thank You for this message. I thank You for helping this feeble, insignificant, without You person You use to give this message. By Your will, Your plan, and Your design. I thank You for the outcome. I thank You that we are healed, delivered, set free right now, every one of us, from those things that would hold us back, that would try to hold us down, that would try to take our power rather than empower us to walk in the authority of Your Word and the completed work through Jesus, who's already led captivity captive. So we're not captive anymore. We're free. We abound. We're more than conquerors because it's already been conquered. I thank You for that. I thank You for the rest of this week. I thank You for the blessings that abound towards Your people, Lord. And I thank You that Your blessings and Your face shines on them. Shines on them. And that every moment, Lord, by the Holy Spirit of their walk every day, they'd be reminded by Your Word that came out this morning, Lord. They're victors, not victims. They have authority. They have the ability to put these things down. And that they'll walk in that. And Lord, You'll get all the glory and honor, and that they'll touch lives because of their even more and even greater peculiarity. In Jesus' name and for Your glory, amen. Be blessed.